Hour number two here on this Monday. We're so happy you're here with us. We've got tickets to Downtown Chowdown featuring Sheila E. Coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. That's going on this weekend. Really excited about that event going on right downtown. You want some more information on it, you can go to khdk.com right now. And if you want to grab your tickets, hang out. We will let you know how you can get your hands on them at the very, very top of the 2 o'clock hour. So we've talked NFL. There's plenty more NFL to talk about. We've got the NBA season starting tomorrow. Jimmy Butler, he's ready to play. He's ready to get booed. We'll explain what all of that means. Rams stay undefeated. Chiefs got a loss on their record now after that thrilling Sunday night football game. We're all even in the league championship series as well, with the National League going back at it with game three tonight. So all of that on the way. Let's get to some college football notes here. First of all, congratulations. First win of the season for old. First win of his UCLA career.
Yep.
He is now hot on the trails of John Wooden as being the greatest UCLA coach of all time.
I think they're starting to build the statue.
I mean, they should, given how much he's getting paid there. They should definitely just, it should come, you know, with a statue.
Honestly, I didn't know if they'd get one. I didn't think that before the year, but as the year was going, I went, when are they going to win? And then they get what I think it was five turnovers against Cal, and you get that many, and you're bound to win. They won comfortably, and hey, it's one, but take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, okay, so that really wasn't consequential at all.
The weekend was wild, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the Pac-12 is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pac-12 is done. Washington lost again. Oregon got them. Oregon doesn't have a strong enough schedule to get into a potential playoff. Every team in the Pac-12 has at least one loss now. And, you know, Oregon getting that win over Washington, again, it's not going to be enough.
I was even thinking about it before. Had Washington won, I still thought they were in trouble. People praised them for their early season play of who they play early? Auburn, and lost. Mm-hmm. Well, Auburn now is losing all the time. It's like that doesn't look
as good. Now doesn't look good, yeah.
And, you know, Stanford's got it just didn't seem like there was going to be enough for the Pac-12 anyway. And now I would say almost with certainty that they don't have anything. And I think there's, what, seven total undefeated teams left?
Mm-hmm.
The four that are one through four,
yeah.
And then kind of the smaller schools that are still trying to get in there. But, yeah, last weekend was a big shakeup.
We told you to keep your eye on LSU and Georgia. I didn't think that was going to happen. A 20-point win by LSU. Hey, and credit to Ed Orgeron and what he's doing down there. I'm not shocked that they won, but I didn't see that coming at all.
Right.
And, again, more shakeup there at the top with Georgia. Georgia's gone now. Now Georgia's going to have. Well,
no, they're not.
No, now you have Georgia, LSU, and Alabama in a situation where they could be competing for two playoff spots and not just one.
Right.
LSU would have been eliminated virtually had they lost. But SEC continues to just beat each other up.
Yeah, well, in LSU's win and the way everything else happened, they vaulted back to, in a lot of these rankings, fifth because of the quality of win they just had against Georgia. So, yeah, the four that are undefeated in front of them, everybody still believes Alabama is the best team. Clemson, I don't think, has many hurdles in front of them. Notre Dame, I think, has made it through the hardest part. SC could be a little bit tricky at the end. And Ohio State, I mean,
how interesting now is that Saturday after Thanksgiving when it's Ohio State in Michigan, because right now that stands at number two versus number six.
Yeah, and we'd kind of dismissed Michigan early on. That was an early loss to Notre Dame. It's like, here's Harbaugh. But here they are.
And then they beat the crap out of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. So if they just keep going, they're in that spot where Ohio State could be the undefeated team. Michigan's the one loss team. Michigan beats them, and there they go. I mean, so Michigan is still in that position. And I think it was Kirby Smart from Georgia, who said when they lost, he's like, all right, we just have less margin of error. He's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not out. Mm-hmm. They've got to keep going and let other teams hurt themselves. But when you haven't lost yet, you've got the margin of error. When you lose once, that error is almost gone.
There are a lot of teams very much still in the conversation. Florida's still in the conversation.
And they had a scare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In a near fight.
Vanderbilt. Yeah. Come on, man. But Michigan destroying Wisconsin. Now you got Michigan and Michigan State this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's two ranked teams.
College football is so much fun right now.
Yeah, Notre Dame had some trouble with Pitt, but they won, which is important.
By the way, West Virginia
was undefeated. They got smoked.
UCF hasn't moved.
Right.
They're at number 10. They're not going anywhere.
Well, they look like they were going to lose. I mean,
but they didn't.
Right.
They never lost.
Yep.
They haven't lost in a long, long time. And they have been sitting comfortably at that 10 spot. It's like, here, you guys are cute. Technically, you're going to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
But if you think you're going to make a playoff spot, you're sorely, sorely mistaken. So right now, the current AP rankings as they stand, and again, let's see, we're at 7-7. We're about 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
From the college football playoff. First college football playoff rankings coming out. Alabama at number one, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame at number four. Then you have LSU. They can play themselves in. Michigan, they play themselves in. Texas at number seven right now. Georgia fell to number eight. It's not bad. And Oklahoma and UCF, as we mentioned, round out the top 10.
Yeah, I think it's set up well right now with four teams. Notre Dame's independent, but other teams that couldn't knock each other off. If they all win, this is what the Final Four should be. I think that's a good setup. But it's also setting up maybe my least favorite scenario where, let's say these four all stay undefeated till, I don't know, week 10, week 11, week 12. Oh, and Notre Dame lost in week 12. You're out. Well, wait a minute. I lost in September, and then now I've moved my way back up to six here, and Notre Dame loses. I sneak in. That's the kind of thing I don't like, because it does matter when you lose.
Well, it does, but I don't think it matters as much now that actual human beings are involved.
I hope so.
Because, we've talked about this, and there was a game that had a really weird ending, and I know this is random, but I think it was the first college football playoff year, and you could tell that they didn't really punish that team in the rankings because they gave themselves an opportunity to play back in. Mm-hmm. So they didn't, count them. So I think now that the human element is involved, if Notre Dame, it's going to matter who the opponent is more than it's going to matter when the loss was.
Right. Yes, I think I guess the scenario, if I give you the other one back again, is Michigan, Ohio State. If they both stay perfect the rest of the way, and Michigan beats Ohio State, there's a chance both would be in, but Michigan would be in over Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, you'd have two teams, assuming your scenario, and they're both at one loss.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hard to deny them.
True.
Them being Michigan,
yeah,
as the team that moves up.
And Notre Dame lost the last week to SC, but Michigan's in, and you go, well, we beat Michigan. I mean, that's where all this gets a little bit tricky, but usually it sorts itself out.
So would the question be who's in, Ohio State or Notre Dame?
Yeah.
In that scenario that you just laid out, who would be in there?
Because Michigan would say, well, we beat Ohio State, but we lost to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
We all have one loss. How do you figure out that round robin?
Well, that's what they have to figure out. You probably, in that scenario, you hope Clemson lost somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And they're probably not going to.
No.
But, I mean,
who knows?
It's, college football is weird.
Yeah. I didn't think West Virginia would lose this week the way they did to Iowa State, and they were undefeated. So it sorts itself out.
The University of Kentucky football team is ranked right now. Did you know the University of Kentucky had a football team?
It's just their basketball players playing football, right?
Yes, Jason. Okay. That's exactly what it is.
Then I did know.
That is exactly what it is, Jason.
One and done.
So happy. Are you proud of yourself?
No.
Oh, man. Okay, that's what we got on college football. It was a fun weekend. Penn State, did we mention that one? Did we mention that Michigan State beat Penn State? Penn State's number eight. Michigan State got them, which, again, it makes for that game this weekend even more interesting than it normally is with Michigan State and Michigan.
Yeah.
So watch that, then come to Downtown Chowdown. I think that's like a 9 a.m. start here.
Oh, man, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good start. Good way to start the day.
Set the alarm clock,
yes,
guys, after your Friday night. You got to get up early.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. But at the closer, and this is all whatever, these AP polls, coaches polls, this is all whatever. But we're 7 weeks into the season now, which means we're closer and closer to the college football playoff rankings coming out. Those normally come out in week eight, but not everybody's at week eight. So it's we'll see what happens.
Well, you're right. These polls, but this is the four, though, right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what the – I think Alabama would be one.
Yep.
I don't think there's much question about that. It might even be in the exact order it is: Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. I might put Notre Dame three, but
that's what I was gonna. I was gonna say. I wonder if the committee would leave itself a margin for error for a team that they like.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're Notre Dame, let's play again with your scenario. If you're Notre Dame and you lose the last week of the season and you're ranked four, that's tough.
Yeah, without a championship game.
If you're Notre Dame, that's ultimately always going to be the killer for them if they lose,
yeah.
Period.
Right.
Whether it's tomorrow or in 5 weeks. But you leave yourself a smidge bit of margin for error if you put Notre Dame at two.
Yeah, the only way it's not a killer for them is if the teams that are in the four around them lose in their championship game, right? Because it opens up a window. But then who beats them? How close was that team?
Yeah. And that's what happens with Ohio State and Michigan in this scenario, right? Because the loser would miss
their conference championship.
The championship game.
Yeah.
And it would be really difficult for a one-loss team not playing in their conference championship game to get back in.
Yeah,
Alabama. Unless Clemson lost to... Yeah, but Alabama's been ranked number one forever.
Yeah, but last year,
Ohio,
a two-loss team that didn't play in there?
Bama?
Am I mistaken that? There was a lot of controversy for them making it last year, and then they won it. I could be wrong on that, but I know there was controversy for them.
No.
But you're right. Right now, they've clearly been number one, preseason number one. They're getting all but one of the votes right now for first place. And
I guess if Clemson lost Notre Dame, yeah, it would have to be weird.
Yeah.
It would have to be.
Which it will probably get that way.
It usually does. Hey, you know what happened on this day?
What's that?
1966.
I was here.
You were here. You were broadcasting live from KHTK. Bill Russell became the NBA's first black head coach. He was designated as a player coach for the Boston Celtics. Sacramento Kings fans know that wasn't the last time he was done coaching.
Yeah.
They wish it was, but it wasn't.
Will we see that again in the major sports?
No, a
player coach?
No.
No chance?
Nope. I don't think so.
Unless the only way I could see it would be as 10 games to go, someone gets like a baseball or something, and then this guy takes over to finish the year. But
Oh, sure. Something like that. Okay. I mean, I'll play.
But hired to be.
Like Jorge Posada took over. Yeah,
sure.
I guess so.
But no one hired to be the coach.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he did it a whole year. He did it like 3 years. They won two championships with him doing both roles.
Get the ball to me.
Oh, man, I've been reading a lot about the 60s. Tomorrow's the 50th anniversary of John Carlos and Tommy Smith on top of the medal stand in Mexico City. So I was reading a lot about sports in the 60s, and I came across that. I was like, oh, that's a fun little number. Mm-hmm. This, not quite as long ago, 30 years ago. Today, 30 years, 88, Kurt Gibson.
Oh, yes.
Off Dennis Eckersley.
Proud moment for
a lot of
people.
I feel like this story gets bigger and bigger every time I hear more.
You know,
about
Doug
it.
Christie was at that game.
I've heard. Did he leave?
He did.
Was that the Shame on You promo that ran for like 4 years? Was that
yes.
that one?
Four and a half.
What's funny, I thought he was joking. I legitimately thought he was joking. I thought there was no way that actually happened.
How old is Doug? How old was Doug at that game?
Probably teenager?
I want to say he was like right out of high school.
Okay.
Like 18, 19, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe you see the cars and the taillights in the background of the home run. Maybe Doug was in one of those.
Hey, that's my car.
yeah, Kurt Gibson, that was 30 years ago. Now, I had always, obviously you see him hobbling around the bases. Now I'm hearing like he couldn't walk, he couldn't stand up, he couldn't put the ball on the tee to like try to practice swinging. I feel like it's getting, pretty soon he's not going to have a leg.
Yeah, the legend has grown. I've said about that play, and I've said this and people get all over me for it. I think it's slightly overrated.
Really?
Just slightly. I mean, it's an incredible moment in sports. But I think some people would say it's the greatest moment in the history of baseball.
Like, no.
It was game one, right? And it was incredible.
Wasn't it a sweep? Was that series a sweep? The Dodgers?
I don't know if it might have been. I can't remember. But
I think it was.
Where it's still all the theatrics. I mean, Eckersley was dominant. Gibson to home. It was incredible. But I still say, Joe Carter walked off a World Series.
Yeah.
To win the World Series.
It was Canada. No one cares.
Yes.
It's like people forget about that.
Yeah.
Didn't he jump and like miss the base?
I think he didn't
get like
back.
He had to come back and get it, Chris?
Five-game series.
A five-game series.
A's won game three.
The pivotal game three.
That's what I've been hearing that all day. I've been hearing that all day, the pivotal game three. Ramsey, what's happening, buddy?
Not too much. Just wanted to touch base again about the college football debate that you were having with the rankings.
Okay.
Here's my question. If Central Florida runs the table, then what happens?
Nothing.
They need a lot of mess in front of them.
Yeah, nothing happens.
I get that. But, I mean, this would be 2 years in a row that they go undefeated.
Yeah, Boise State had to be good for, what, like 4 or 5 years before anybody even remotely paid attention to them.
I get that. I mean,
they'll get a nice bowl. Look at it like that. You know what, Ramsey? They'll get a nice bowl, and if they win that game, sorry to do it again, Boise State, Oklahoma, then maybe next year they'd have to do it a third year. Maybe they'll have some people's attention, but they'd have to beat a major school in a major bowl game again.
Yeah, again, because they did that on New Year's Day last year against Auburn.
Yep.
I mean, they probably have to do the same thing again. I mean, and Mackenzie Milton to me is one of the top five quarterbacks in the country.
Well, you know what? Well, it has a chance to help them. I mentioned there's, what, the four undefeated at the top, them and two others. The other two are Cincinnati and USF. They still play them, and those two teams are both ranked. If they could keep winning and get up there, that will help. But I'm kind of with Damian. I think, I don't know, it would have to be just a bunch of two-loss teams for them to maybe get in, sneak in as the fourth team, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
And with the way college football is, it could find a way to happen some way.
True.
I mean, the way college football has played out in the past 5 years, I don't say it's likely, but with the way things look, it could happen.
I'm going to say it's not. They're just going to stay there at 10.
I think they'll move up from 10.
Once some of the conference championship games are wrapped up, you might be right. We appreciate you, Ramsey. Thanks as always.
Yeah, no problem.
The only school you can really draw the comparison to is Boise State, right?
Right. Right.
And it felt like Boise State was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But they were good for a really long time before it was like, okay, now they're in the conversation. The mess against Oklahoma. Okay, we'll give them a shot. And then they blew it the next year.
Yeah.
After, being undefeated or whatever it was, really, really good for like a 3 or 4 year stretch. And I don't think they've been back in the conversation since.
Well, I think what happens to a lot of these schools is they get to that bowl game like a little bit lesser than the Final Four that they wanted to be in. But now they're playing a team that was hoping to be in the Final Four, and it's, UCF gets Auburn. Well, Auburn's not that thrilled to be there. Well, UCF is like, all right, we're playing one of the big bad boys. We're going to show them. And they usually do well in those bowl games. But you know what? It also goes back to one of my least favorite things, the preseason ranking. So if UCF came in at 10 and then all of a sudden, they'd probably be 7 right now or 6. And
but
it's
they
like,
where were they? They weren't far.
No, but they weren't. They were like the back end of the top 25, I think.
Were they really?
I thought so. From the
very
beginning.
Was that their little reward? Like, hey, guys.
Yeah, we'll get you in. We'll,
yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah. I thought you loved the preseason rankings.
Ugh.
What's going on, Doug?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I have three questions. The first one, I don't know if you guys have done this yet. I'll get Randy to do it. But your plus minus on the wins, a total wins for the Kings this season.
Yeah, not doing that ever.
You're not doing it? Oh, come on.
Never.
A lot of fun.
All right.
Okay. All right. And then second one was, which team will the Kings get their first win against? And then number three is, who's going to be your rookie of the year?
Okay. We appreciate that, Doug. Man, that's a lot of questions, Doug. We pay Doug to be a producer here. Do we have to do the plus minus thing? It's not fun. This was a 25. Didn't we do this?
Yeah, I had a number in my head for the season. You want
did
the
you?
Number?
Yeah. Of course we did. Doug wants the number.
24. That's the number I've had in my head for this team.
What was it last year?
27.
So they're worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not exciting.
No, it's not.
Nope.
And you use the word growth a lot when you talk about what you want to see. Can you grow and win 24 games?
I wouldn't think so. Without a draft pick either.
Is the happy tree getting a little...
Oh, when we get to best of, it's all happy today. I have no worst of.
Okay, we'll hold on now. Yeah. No,
except
not
for maybe that statement, right, I just said.
That's not best of at all.
No.
Rookie of the year. What was it? He had three questions. Rookie of the year plus. Yeah, I mean, dude, if
his first win,
could they?
I don't feel like it's going to be the home opener against Utah.
Could it be under 20?
Wins?
Yeah. That seems really, really low. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I didn't watch. I don't even know that it was on. I didn't go to League Pass or any video service to look at the Portland game. So my last image of them is when I turned the game off and it was like 40-14.
Yeah.
Because I made the commitment, like, we're not doing this tomorrow. Like, you're not going to ruin my day, especially when I'm by myself. Because I'd be sitting up here in a bad mood for 3 hours talking about the Kings. So I let everybody else be in a bad mood about it. And we just all got through it together. But that's my last impression of them. So right now I want to say the plus-minus number is 7. We went 7 games.
I'll take the over.
Okay, yeah. I think the over on that would be
They're
pretty safe.
Worst year in Sacramento was 17, which was a miserable year. They were supposed to get the one. They got the 4 pick. Yeah. But, you know, I'm thinking about last year. The worst team was Phoenix. They won 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun either. I feel like there's elements that are more exciting, but the West is better.
I think the Kings are coming out on fire on Wednesday. They did it last year against Houston.
Yeah? They rope-a-doped Utah, and now they're going to beat them on Wednesday?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I said I think they're going to come out on fire on Wednesday. Doesn't mean they're going to win. Like, they played great against Houston to open the season last year.
It was a good game all the way to the end.
They didn't win.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer to Doug's question is about the first win of the season. Maybe it's in New Orleans because you're going to be calling the game.
That'd be fun.
For the Sacramento Kings radio network.
First road game.
Just also happens to be KHTK.
Yes. I don't know. It's their home opener, too, for the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
They open up Wednesday at Houston. The thing is, you could go, like, when you look at the schedule, which is a dangerous thing to do, where do you see a win?
I don't.
I
stopped doing that.
Right.
Like we don't do that game anymore. Well, let's just look ahead and try. Well, you know, if they
tonight they're playing Atlanta. What does that mean?
If they go 5 of 6 here,
right?
There'll be 4 games above 5. It's like, no, dude.
Yeah, just play it. Just let it happen.
Just play. And I stopped doing that after we're in contention for the 8th seed,
mm-hmm.
and they got rid of DeMarcus, and it was like, okay, let's kind of monitor this. They come out and win that game, and it's like, okay, let's see what happens here, and then. Yeah.
I think it was 8-game losing streak.
Yeah. It was.
I would say this. I mean, not only because the way it happened last week, I think the matchup with Utah is about as bad as it is for this team. Like, that's a team that can score a little bit, but is a supreme defensive team. That's going to make it difficult for the Kings.
The Kings are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Kansas City Chiefs on defense rolled into one,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have the offensive firepower of either one of those two teams.
Right.
So they're just bad defensively.
And they need to play a team that's not good defensively.
And that's not Utah.
Right.
Utah's way too disciplined.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. Rookie of the year, I think, was his other question. The most impressive rookie I've seen so far is DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I think it's a good class. I think it's a good group. I think Ayton will have a good year. Doncic, Trae Young, I think will do well.
Yeah, there's going to be guys who have the opportunity to make a big impact right away. I know that everybody loves Harry Giles. I don't know what Harry Giles' role is going to be on this team. If he's not starting and it doesn't appear that he's going to, I don't think he's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Marvin Bagley is starting. Maybe he's in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But if Phoenix suddenly goes from 20 wins to, and I know this sounds absurd, 28 wins or 29 wins, people are going to look at DeAndre Ayton. And again, he's really, really good.
Yeah. I think Bagley and Giles will end up on all rookie teams, whether that's first or second or honorable. I think that's where they'll be.
The all-star squads, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think either one's going to win Rookie of the Year.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
This team isn't going to be good enough. You have to be...
If you're not good enough, you have to have crazy stats, and I don't think they will. I think they'll be good numbers, but you have to be like, wow, he averaged 18 and 10?
Or you need something really weird, like... My man in, was it Milwaukee? Was it Brogdon?
Brogdon, where like nothing happens.
Yeah, like 8 points because Embiid stopped playing.
Yeah.
Like with,
there's
in which I'd still argue Embiid should have been the rookie of the year with 39 games in under his belt or whatever it was, 30 games, whatever it was.
Yeah, this class is too strong to have something like that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not going to be Marvin or Harry Giles. We'll step out. We'll stick with the NBA. We've got more best and worst of the weekend. Jason says he's got a whole bunch of best of the weekends. We'll touch on those. Jimmy Butler's ready to play. He's ready to play for Minnesota, and he's ready to be booed. We'll let you know what that means next. Coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, we'll let you know how you can grab your tickets to the Downtown Chowdown that's going on this weekend with ex-ambassadors Chris Jansen and Sheila E. going to be performing right in downtown Sacramento. Again, we'll let you know how you can get your hands on those tickets coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Our buddy Sean Cunningham just tweeted that he spoke with Bogdan Bogdanovic for the first time since training camp, making progress with a knee injury, began running lightly today, and they've identified November 7th versus Toronto at the Golden One Center as a possible target for a return.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's Sean Cunningham there. Best and worst of the weekend. Jay Ross, I gave you one of my best of the weekend. That was Brock Osweiler. I don't know when I'll be able to do it again. So Brock Osweiler, never. His performance in a win, in a overtime win, in a damn near tie with the Chicago Bears. But it wasn't. And the Dolphins needed a win, by the way, coming off a couple of losses where they were probably questioning what their season was going to look like. So a big moment for Brock Osweiler, a big deal for the Miami Dolphins, especially on short notice that he was able to get out there, put up some pretty good numbers. My other best, we touched on earlier, I love Tyreek Hill's speed. It's just extraordinary that it looks so simple, but to see him beat two defenders after jumping up, turning around, catching the ball, turning around again, and just accelerating right away. That was my other best of the weekend. You say you're all happy tree today, yeah. So let's hear it.
I got lots of positive stuff that I saw over the weekend. I think that was, I'm going to take you back to Friday. One of my favorite moments of the weekend, Brewers and Dodgers. So it's game one. Brewers are going crazy. They haven't had this kind of experience in a little while. And Kershaw's in there and they're doing the bullpen game and they get to Woodruff, who is a bullpen guy, and he's coming up to the plate. I'm like, why are they batting? Like, this is the time to take him out. He stayed in, and he hit a bomb off of Kershaw. The way he reacted, the way the bullpen reacted, the way the dugout reacted, and then it just seemed to carry over to the game. Then they just kept rolling and kept hitting Kershaw. But I don't know. None of it made sense. A lefty bullpen pitcher, a reliever, to hit off one of the best lefties we've seen in the last 15 years, and he takes him to dead center. I mean, that was just an awesome moment for me.
Okay.
Yeah, love that. Love that in baseball.
Jay Ross digs the long ball.
Yes, for sure. Saturday night, so I'm doing off of, this one is when it's almost a little bit off like your Tyreek Hill one where, okay, all these guys are the best of the best athletes, but when someone is that much faster, it just shows up. But the fight on Saturday night that was on ESPN where Crawford's uppercut, I mean, that's what you do. Yeah. That's what you're trying to get a knockout. And he didn't need to. He's going to win the fight. But his uppercut, you just go, man, that was just – so much power behind it, and it just, that was an incredible, it was near the end of the fight, you're thinking that he's going to win, the only chance was for him to get knocked out, but his uppercut was so spot on, and just drove right through, it was just amazing.
That was a fun fight to watch.
It was a good fight.
Yeah.
Since
you are happy tree, you got more leaves falling from that tree there?
Well, the other one was just kind of a theme, and we already touched on it was college football. Just the drama of that many upsets. That's why I think the intrigue of every Saturday is important. And you think, oh, we're just cruising right along. Oh, there's no road bumps here this week. Oh, no. I think that's where the beauty of the sport is, and I think college football had a good weekend.
They definitely did. There's some sort of trade going on, according to Adrian Wojnarowski right now, with the Wizards and the Bucks. Hmm. The Wizards are trading guard Jody Meeks in cash to the Bucks. Bucks will waive Meeks. Wizards are also sending a future second-round pick to the Bucks in the deal, too. What?
Okay.
So they're sending a player, and they just want to get Jody Meeks off their roster?
That must be it. Yeah. And is the other one, did he mention if the other one went through with Phoenix and New Orleans? It's a smaller one, but maybe
I didn't see that one. Did I see? I think I saw
Phoenix,
Jamal Crawford.
Oh. Yeah, he signed with Phoenix.
Jamal Crawford signed with Phoenix.
I think it was the Clippers. Sorry, Alexis Ajinsa for Wesley Johnson.
New Orleans is acquiring. Yep, that is the Clippers will waive Ajinsa. Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yep, that went through too.
Jimmy Butler's still a Timberwolf, though, right?
Jimmy Butler is still a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he was asked about playing opening night, which just isn't going to play for you because I've got to press multiple buttons to get it to play. Here we go. Hey, you know Jimmy Butler was asked about playing opening night, Jason. Yeah. Chris, is the computer pod up? So can you just acknowledge for everybody that was not my fault?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to turn it off because it kept on beeping.
I don't know what that is. I swear it has to be Dave. Everything that goes wrong in this studio is Dave's fault. 100%. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
in agreement.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler was asked about playing opening night.
Yeah.
Do you intend to play on Wednesday with this team?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to play basketball tomorrow. So, therefore, I can't tell you what Wednesday will bring. Plus, today is Sunday, so I need to be focused in on today.
Well, he's
wow,
focused.
That's deep.
I can go out there and I can play. You know, it's all about playing hard. I think I can do that. When I'm gassed and I'm tired, I'll look down at Tibbs and say, Tibbs, I need a break. If he doesn't take me out of the game, I'll call upon Rook and Josh.
There you go, and message to his teammates.
They know. I talk to them every day. Mm-hmm. I miss my guys. I want to compete. They know that. They know I have my best interest in it, theirs. I tell them.
Okay, I'm over Jimmy Butler now.
You know what we need? I think we have proposed star swap. How about, like, quote swap? So, like, when Butler's like, oh, I can't even answer for – like, get Jalen Ramsey to talk about the Timberwolves.
Mm.
And then Jimmy Butler, you talk about why the Jags defense isn't elite or whatever.
That's solid.
You just see, like, oh, I can talk about that.
I think we should just get Andrew Luck and Derek Carr yes. to speak for everybody.
Yeah, that's fine.
And we're going to have Andrew Luck's post-game sound today. Coming up later.
Good.
2 o'clock hour.
I think good. I don't know.
If you miss Jalen Ramsey's sound, we'll have that. We didn't even talk about what made Jalen Ramsey pout so much. His team got their butt kicked by the Dallas Cowboys.
The great offense of the Cowboys.
What?
Yeah, it was great yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah.
Somehow it was great yesterday because before then they're teetering on the New York Giants style of offense, which has gone largely unnoticed how poor. Well, I guess it hasn't really gone unnoticed. That's been their Achilles heel because their defense actually has been very good. I wouldn't call their defense good yesterday. I would just say the Jaguars' offense really, really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay because Jalen Ramsey didn't have anything bad to say about Blake Bortles in his GQ magazine article.
Yeah.
I like the loudmouths, but man, oh man, when you get your butt kicked like you did yesterday by the Dallas Cowboy, you better still be a loudmouth. You still got to be able to talk. Or you just got to go in front of your reporters and just say, hey, we got our ass kicked. What do you want me to say? We just got it absolutely handed to us, which is what happened to the Cowboys, which is what the Cowboys did to the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. My worst, Jason, and I spent way too much time on this. My worst is the fact that Nathan Peterman is still an NFL football player. Nathan Peterman has played in 6 games in his NFL career.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Peterman has started 3 games in his NFL career. He has 9 interceptions and 3 touchdowns. He's completed 44% of his passes. He's been sacked 4 times. 6 games, 3 starts, 9 interceptions, 4 sacks, and they keep putting him out there.
He started the playoff game last year, didn't he? Or came in the playoff game, whether it was started or not, he was in there. And he was in yesterday with the injury to Allen.
The beginning and middle and end of Colin Kaepernick's collusion case is Nathan Peterman's career.
Yep.
Dude, he's terrible. Why does he keep getting in the game? Why is he on a roster? I felt bad for him after that 5 interception.
Right, because that was an easy target.
That's just
that, like, okay, bad day.
That was a horrible call by Sean McDonough. Is it Sean McDonough?
No, not McDonough.
Sean McDonough is the play-by-play announcer.
McDermott,
yeah. Thank you. That was a horrible, like, that decision made no sense at all. They almost missed the playoffs because of that.
Mm-hmm.
They were winning football games with Tyrod Taylor, and they put Nathan Peterman in there, and he has the half that he does. I felt bad for him in that moment. Dude, he stinks. He is awful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I looked it up. He didn't start in that playoff game, but I have his stats for that game.
Oh, good.
He was 1 of 3 for 14 yards and 1 interception.
Of course.
Of course. He threw a pick 6 that cost them, that essentially cost them the game yesterday. Why?
I have no answer for this one. I don't get it. I have no idea.
There has to be another McCown out there somewhere that the Buffalo Bills could sign. He might be 80, but he's a McCown. He can play ball.
Right. Well, and some of these guys, they get multiple chances. That's why Brock's in your best of, because I've been like, he's how many chances? He can't play. Well, he played great yesterday.
Where's Trevor Siemian? Anybody know?
Was it Baltimore?
Hey, this is the game we were playing on Monday. Friday. I still don't know the answer because I swore, like, we're not going to look this up. We just have to organically know. Do you know who the backup quarterback is for the New York Giants?
No.
No one did.
Yeah.
Because we all refused to look it up. Like, we're not going to look this up. We have to organically figure out who the backup quarterback. And no one's mentioning it because it's obviously so bad that they know Pat Shurmur can't go to whoever that person is.
He's like, Eli's our guy.
That's our guy.
Yeah.
He is going to be our quarterback moving forward. The other worst of the weekend was Emmanuel Sanders. Boy, if you're going to taunt someone, you better be damn well positive you have a touchdown. He caught a pass. It was like a 44-yard pass from Case Keenum. Shoulder hit the one-yard line. He thought he was in the end zone. It was ruled a touchdown on the field, which I always think is the smart thing to do. Err on the side of caution. That way you go back to review, and it doesn't cost anyone a timeout there in that situation. He gets up, gets the taunting penalty for getting in Troy Hill's face. He's wagging his finger, doing all that. And then it wasn't a touchdown. And suddenly, instead of the ball on the one, it was on the 16.
Oops.
Yeah, that's...
Better be right.
All bad.
But if he doesn't get... If they don't call it a touchdown, he probably doesn't get in his face, right?
True. But you... Like I said, you better be positive you had a touchdown before you get up and start taunting. And that's going to be on all the teaching videos moving forward. We haven't talked about the Rams, man. They stayed undefeated. Todd Gurley had an incredible day. We'll have more on the Pats and the Chiefs. We got more on the NBA starting. We'll get back into the Raiders. Overreaction Monday is coming. Plenty more here as the Lowdown continues on Sports 1140. Want to be a part of the show and get us on the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of the delicious 21 flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Coming up 13 minutes, we'll let you know how you can get your hands on these tickets to the Downtown Chowdown going on this weekend, this Saturday, actually. Sheila E., Chris Jansen, ex-ambassadors. This is one of my favorite events because it covers, no matter what your tastes are, this got you covered. And if you just want food and drinks, this
it's again, there too, with some music in the background.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be a good show.
Definitely one of my favorite events of the year. And we're going to let you know how you can get your tickets again coming up in 13 minutes. I guess we can cover more on the NBA tomorrow. I mean, Jimmy Butler's telling everybody to boo him. He doesn't care. He's come to some sort of agreement with Glenn Taylor about playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Glenn Taylor says he's going to continue to work on a trade for him because that's what owners in sports do, not general managers or presidents of basketball operations, but owners. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the end of the Jimmy Butler saga as we know it is here.
Well, wait and see how that all plays out. But tomorrow is what?
Until February
until
gets
February,
here.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man,
yep.
I thought you was going to move me.
Yeah.
I was trying to be in L.A. for Christmas.
Still here.
Or Miami.
Yep.
Or someplace sunny. Anywhere but Minnesota at Christmas time.
No. Not
at all. Don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Don't want to be there. It's a smidge bit chilly.
I was hoping your guy would be ready for tomorrow, but obviously I don't think he's supposed to be, right? Westbrook still?
One, Russell Westbrook is always ready.
Yeah.
Two, no, I don't think he's going to play tomorrow.
Versus the Warriors.
But no, no official word. Like, what did we have? Dirk is not, he's still a little bit away. And there was another name that we had reported. Again, I know Dirk isn't
Dirk. Yeah, they're talking about having him come off the bench, but still.
But yeah, he's out for a little bit here.
But so tomorrow is Boston, Philly, and then OKC Warriors. That starts the NBA season.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad it's here.
It's really exciting for Warriors fans.
Oh, yeah.
The slow march.
You've got to be nervous.
When I see Steph Curry, was it Steph or Clay? Someone said, I'd really like to win another title
For Oakland.
For Oakland before we move. Like, yeah, okay. All right, dude.
You're favored.
We get it.
Yeah.
Like, you're like the biggest favorite in the history of the NBA. Like, you're good.
Yeah.
Knock it off. We all see through this. Rams stayed undefeated, so while the Chiefs got their first loss at the hands of the New England Patriots, and it was a classic last night. By the way, it's worth pointing out, second year in a row that the Chiefs have been 5-0 and then lost that sixth game. Now, they also lost the 7th, 8th, 9th, and if I remember right, they also lost the 10th last year. There's going to be a lot of it's going to be a lot of puckering up if the Chiefs lose next week and fall two in a row. Oh, man.
Yeah.
We've seen this before.
Same pattern, but yeah.
This is Patrick Mahomes, man. Patrick Mahomes doesn't lose two games in a row.
Yet.
He does not lose two games
okay.
in a row.
We'll see.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say he's the MVP. I'm not so sure that he is. Did you see what Todd Gurley did yesterday?
Yeah, another amazing day in a place that, you know, they had snow overnight, tough place to play with in Denver, but good win for the Rams.
I'm beginning to think Denver's defense has a problem. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Crowell against Denver last week?
Yep.
200-plus yards?
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday it was 208.
Yep.
From Todd Gurley?
Yeah, what, 28 carries?
28 carries.
Touchdowns, some receptions, too. Yeah, he's awesome.
Well, we've got overreactions coming up in next hour. Overreaction that maybe Todd Gurley is the MVP? You don't have to answer now. I'll give you some time to think about it.
Okay.
But we'll throw it out there. He's had a hell of a season. In fact, he's had the best season since, wait for it, Sean Alexander in 2005 when he won the MVP.
Yeah, didn't he have something like 24, 26 touchdowns, something crazy?
That was absurd. Yeah, he broke Emmitt's record that year, I think. And, by the way, he also ruined running backs getting MVPs, as only one has done it since then. And it was the superhuman performance of Adrian Peterson.
Right, when he came back like a medical marvel.
Yeah, I think that's the only and really, well, I think that was the, like, him and Peyton came back at the same time. And you knew one was going to get the comeback player of the year award and the other was going to get the MVP award. And I think everybody assumed Adrian Peterson would get the comeback player of the year award and Peyton would get the MVP. Mm-hmm. But it went the other way around.
Right.
But no one knows that because all these awards are handed out the day before the Super Bowl. And I think that was the year. Was Peyton in that Super Bowl? Oh, no, they had lost, I think. They had lost earlier that year. I feel like he lost his first year in Denver, like in the opening round of the playoffs. And then, not that that's important to this conversation, but that run defense was a whole lot better than the one that the Denver Broncos have. Case Keenum? Yeah?
No.
No? Not at all? I mean, they were down 23, was it 3? Hey, they fought back.
They did. I think I don't know that he's made that offense better, though,
well,
right?
But I think that because they're asking so much more of him than I think the Minnesota Vikings were.
True. No, that's true. And he managed that team better, but.
Well, that's what he was at. See, there's the word, right? Manage.
Yeah, but can he? You paid him like he's a guy that's a top tier quarterback.
But did you?
Well. Isn't that what Elway? I mean, I don't think Elway just got him to be a.
But I don't think they paid him like he's a top tier quarterback.
Well, but they paid him to separate him from the Osweiler, Lynch, Simeon.
He's better than that group
by a lot.
I love the look that you just gave me. No, maybe not by a lot, but he's better than Brock Osweiler. He's better than Trevor Siemian. He sure as hell is better than Paxton Lynch.
He's never made your best of. Brock Osweiler just did.
Oh, look at you.
It's like Tom Brady getting Patriot of the Week.
Look at you.
That's a prestigious honor.
It is. I take my best and worst of the weekend very seriously. That's why I thought Brock Osweiler deserved it.
Well, I just know, like, following different people, you see people talking about, I was going to say Jim Kelly, Chad Kelly. Like,
people
in Denver are like, do we go to Chad Kelly? I was like, whoa, you just signed? I mean.
Maybe John should call his uncle again who vouches for him.
Exactly.
Maybe they should fire John Elway.
No way.
Maybe John Elway could coach the team and they could fire Jim Vance Joseph and promote John Elway at the same time.
I'd rather them hire Nate Lundy.
I agree, and I think Nate Lundy would prefer that too, though I'm not 100% positive, but he went all in on Vance Joseph. What is this, like his second year?
Yeah, it's just year two, I believe. But there's
no patience in the NFL.
No, that's why you have to get a 10-year, $100 million contract to have ultimate security.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I see. And then we circle back around to your Oakland Raiders, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. Is there 1-5 Raider fans? Are you panicking if you want to jump in here? 49ers are in Green Bay. We'll talk about that as well. And are the Raiders looking to trade Amari Cooper? And if so, what do you get? Like, what is the value for that? So we'll step out. We'll come back. We'll reset. We got overreaction Monday next. We got sound from Andrew Luck on the way. And we've got your phone calls as well. The Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of the delicious 21 flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.